Welcome to Hallwell Manor. I'm Max.
And I'm Tina.
And we are here to discuss Season 6, Episode 1 of Charmed.
Valhalla of the Dolls, Part 1.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, this episode.
Oh, my God. Okay. I know we've been saying it for a while, but I feel like now it is finally true. We are officially into the bad part of Charmed.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we talked last time about how Leo took all of the sadness out of Piper and how that was really a not great thing to do.
Morally iffy choice.
As a result, she's kind of sleepwalking through this episode, just like everyone else.
Oh my God. The writing and the acting have taken such a noticeable downturn this season. I love it so much. I'm so excited. The sheer drop in quality.
Okay, here's what I have to call out.
Yeah?
At one point, they put Piper in the Valkyrie outfit, right? Because she's disguised as a Valkyrie so that they can go to Valhalla and rescue Leo. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's what's going to happen in this episode.
Yep.
And Phoebe says that Piper's going to be really pissed off because she doesn't like wearing the weird outfits. And that's just too self-aware for me.
Oh, yeah. That gets worse from this. I guess it kind of stays lateral because...
Wait, the weird outfits get worse or the self-awareness gets worse?
Oh, the self-awareness gets worse. Do you not remember the line in the Lady Godiva episode where Piper says, "Cover up, lady. This is a family show."
Ugh.
Yeah, there's basically no fourth wall later, you know.
But it's like, wait, so in the world of Charmed, you don't want to be wearing those outfits? Then don't. You're witches. Just do what you want to do. If you can't even do what you want to do when it comes to what you're wearing, what is the point of even being a witch?
Oh my God, the whole undercover. I'm sorry, I'm going to call them Amazons. I know they're Valkyries. I'm not saying I'm intentionally choosing to call them Amazons. I'm just saying inevitably I'm going to accidentally call the Valkyries Amazons because it is real clear what they're riffing on here.
Yeah, they're riffing on Xena.
Yeah, it's Xena if... I was going to say if nobody could act. I don't know. I feel like bad acting is not necessarily one of the flaws Xena has. It's an incredibly cheesy show,
but it's a cheap show.
Yeah, it's cheap and it's cheesy, but, like, Carl Urban is one of the four actors they have.
Yeah, and he's no slouch. And neither is Lucy Lawless.
Yeah, and Renee O'Connor, God, I think I got her name right. I'm pretty sure her first name's Renee.
Is it Gabrielle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, she does a good job. Like, she's not as good of an actress as Lucy Lawless, but she holds her own.
Let's talk about this show.
Okay. So, we open on a radio beach concert.
Yeah, it's a summer beach party, like radio stations do.
Okay. I know this is... I know I'm not a professional radio person by any stretch, even though we do a podcast. What a nightmare it must be to record audio on a beach.
Oh my God. I can only imagine. I mean, they do this, right? So it is a thing. But you know what I'm thinking about?
That episode, like, way, way back with Prue, where Prue had that encounter with death, and it took place on the beach because it was obviously a reference to the Seventh Seal, but all you could concentrate on was like, oh my God, this shoot looks like it was a nightmare.
No, I was thinking about a real thing when we were, because we've never done a live podcast.
Yeah.
But we were at a con where somebody was doing a live podcast, and someone came up to ask a question, and they had an iced drink in their hand, and they were, like, holding the iced drink right up next to the microphone when they asked their question. And I was just like, no! It was hurting me. You can't control! You can't control outside people!
You really, really can't.
Speaking of outside people you can't control, the performer at this particular beach party is, it's no Dishwalla.
Okay, premonition, time freeze about a premonition about a time freeze.
I mean, I guess this is the premonition, because there aren't really any, spoiler for the end of this podcast, there aren't any other real premonitions in this episode.
Oh, none of the Valkyries were, I don't know, playmates?
I mean, they were all like, they've all been in like one episode of House, but there's no one there that's like, oh yeah, that one.
Yeah. I don't know. I got the feeling I was supposed to maybe recognize them as, like, famous underwear models or something. that's certainly kind of the level of acting we get from the Valkyries, but...
Hey! No shade to underwear models!
They're not actors. Like, I wouldn't expect an underwear model to be an actor. It's not their skill set.
Alright, that's fair.
Like, I wouldn't expect a firefighter to be good at, I don't know, fixing alarm clocks.
Okay, okay.
It's not like wrestling where I feel like that...
Yeah, wrestling is acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you were gonna say something about the musical guest?
Oh, yeah, it's Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth.
Which... Is there any more of the time band than Smash Mouth in the early 2000s?
Here's what I want to talk about.
How this is one of their songs you will not recognize.
Yeah, they're not singing All Star. They're singing a different song. And the whole crowd is singing along like it's a song they know. This is not a song you know.
This isn't even Walking on the Sun, which, to be fair, was also immensely popular. I mean, it's no All Star, but, like, Smash Mouth had... lower ranked hits that you could have used, not this C or D list song. And you know, when they had Pat Benatar, they shilled out for some real A list numbers from her. I know she wasn't the hot ticket at the time, but like, it's Pat Benatar.
Yeah.
You couldn't have shilled out for Walking on the Sun.
Apparently not.
It was in every movie trailer. It could not have been that expensive.
Smash Mouth specifically wrote that song to be a song that they could sell to various outlets for things.
I mean, wasn't that kind of their mission statement as a band? Like, we're going to have very popular music. And then they did it, so.
And you know what? Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
People like to hate on Smash Mouth, but, like, look, they went out with a mission to make, like, really, really popular, easy to listen to, fun songs, and they did it.
I want to write a jukebox musical that is all-star. And All-Star is the only song that you... Just different renditions of All-Star is the whole musical.
You can do a lot with that song. I've listened to the one that is just Steamed Hams many times.
Yes!
That's really good editing. I watched this whole video about how Simpson memes are kind of this weird art form of their own.
Uh-huh.
Because you can take something and then make it so divorced from the original context. Like... I mean, there's all of this audio and visual stuff. Like, everything anyone did with Steamed Hams is basically video art.
Yeah.
Like, it's not presented as that because it's just, you know, stuff you see on YouTube. But, like, no, this is real video art.
Well, I mean, pop culture is culture, so it makes sense that... Yeah, it makes total sense.
Speaking of culture...
Oh, my God. Okay, so Smash Mouth finishes their set, and we go over to the DJ, who is interviewing...
The DJ... Hanging Chad.
Oh my God.
Time freeze. Premonition.
Premonition about time freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's interviewing advice columnist Ask Phoebe.
Alyssa Milano got a haircut in between seasons. She looks really good, but she's Alyssa Milano, so obviously she looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, a pixie cut definitely works on her, though.
Yeah, yeah, which it doesn't. It doesn't on everyone. It's one of those cyclical things where you'll get, like, a movie where someone has really, really short hair, and then you get to discover that you don't look good in that particular haircut.
Oh, yeah. So, he's interviewing Phoebe about her column, and he's like, are you psychic? Because your advice is so good. It's impossibly good. And it's like, really?
Why would psychic be the thing you would, I mean... Theoretically, that just means she knows people. Like, are you a psychiatrist would be a better thing than...
Well, what's weird is, this is the episode where we're going to introduce her new power.
Yeah, her new power kicks in right here. And it is the worst thing ever. I ran a poll about what Phoebe's worst power was, and empathy won by a lot. And her other powers also suck, so...
But that's the thing, it would make sense for him to say, are you empathetic? Like, are you an empath?
Oh, God. Phoebe is an empath. That is the thing. Phoebe is now an empath, and like every empath ever, she is the worst person you know.
Yes.
That might be an unfair thing to say. I personally have only known a couple of people who claim to be empaths, and they were...
Well, that's the thing. Being an empath doesn't make you a bad person. It's that the people who say that they're empaths a lot tend to not be.
I don't like drama. It's the...
Exactly, exactly.
It's one of those things where the fact that you felt the need to state this kind of makes...
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of... People keep asking me questions about my...
Yes, yes. My t-shirt that says, "No, really, I care about your feelings," is raising a lot of questions already answered by my t-shirt.
Yes. But yeah, Phoebe gets a tingle, and oh my god, her empathy power sucks. It's basically just an excuse for Alyssa Milano to steal scenes from other actors, which, why would you give that to she's a producer at this point. Was this something she requested?
I don't know, but give it to one of the two sisters who can act well.
Although, God knows, Rose McGowan has definitely thrown in the towel at this point.
Mm.
She reads all of her lines like there is a gun pointed at her.
Well, but the empathy power, it doesn't just tell her what people are feeling. It makes her feel it. So when the DJ gets horny for her, she gets horny for him.
Yes.
Even though later she's like, why? He's not my type. I don't like him.
How is he not your type? I mean, not to besmirch Phoebe's taste in men, but he's like a slimy douchebag. Isn't that entirely
her
thing?
That is her type. That is totally her type.
Yeah, like, you marry Coop. Coop!
Oh.
Oh, also, her empathy, like, she kind of, like, tilts, she kind of Matt Parkmans a little bit while this, like, weird jingly bell sound plays. It's awful. It's
so that
all
we, the
awful.
Audience, know that this is a feeling that's being, you know, directed to her as opposed to coming naturally from her heart.
God.
So, at the manor, Chris is...
He's flipping through the Book of Shadows. He's been sending the sisters on a lot of demon hunts recently. I think we forgot to mention last episode, Chris proved that he was not evil by touching the Book of Shadows, but Wyatt instinctively puts up his force field around Chris. So,
I'm glad you said that, because in this episode, he is flipping through the Book of Shadows with some sort of telekinetic power.
Yes.
That's not a white lighter power.
No, outside of the first episode where Leo used it once and then never again, but no. As we discussed last episode, Chris just has he has basically two active powers. He has orbing, and he has the standard Warren telekinesis.
Right, but what I was going to say is this is making me wonder if they were trying to walk back the him touching the Book of Shadows, and this was supposed to kind of show us that he's not actually touching it.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of Chris's evil stuff in this episode, which...
Well, he does a really evil thing!
Murder, yes. I mean, I guess everyone kind of murders a lot in this show, but...
This is bad. Also,
This is extra bad.
Yeah. Also, he has telekinesis, thus, you know, solidifying my theory that he's pre-reincarnated.
Yes. So, he's flipping through the Book of Shadows looking for more demons to kill, when suddenly a Valkyrie walks in through a portal in the attic.
And he's like, "What are you doing here? I said we should never meet here." And she's
like, "There's only so long we can hold the Elder. His power is too much even for us." And he's like, "For a mythical character, you sure never shut your goddamn mouth."
Okay, so just to clarify, Valkyrie is more powerful than Elders.
Apparently. Chris, he goes off on this whole thing. He's like, "Oh my god, fucking Leo. He's trapped in an island full of beautiful women and all he can do is complain," which, oh my god, Chris, shut up.
Also, he's
the worst.
Being held in a cage and made to fight other dead souls. Like, the beauty rating of the Valkyries is irrelevant to what's happening to Leo right now.
So the Valkyrie Mist tells Chris, she's like, "Look, we can't keep Leo forever. You have to decide what you want to do." And he's like, "You know I never hurt you, right, Mist?" And she's like, "You would if you needed to. You're a dark, mysterious, complicated character. Like, you know, that thing about you that I definitely know." And Chris is like, "No, don't say it out loud." They had no idea what they were doing with Chris. No.
And then he kisses her because we want to see that he's a cold motherfucker. Mm. Then, speaking of people being cold, Piper comes up all chipper and is like, "Hey, do you have any laundry?" Because she's...
Yeah, she's been Stepford-wived. Mm-hmm. That's the spell Leo cast on her. The Valkyrie blorps out right before Piper walks in.
Right.
She's like, did I hear you talking to someone and then having make-out noises with someone? And Chris is like, no, shut up. Mm-hmm. What's up? And it's just laundry because brainwashed.
Back on the beach, the interview has ended and Phoebe's like, hey, sorry I got so horny for you for some reason, even though what they were doing was completely normal radio banter. It's like exactly what you would expect from a radio. And she's like, I hope I didn't ruin the interview. Whatever, Phoebe. Anyway, then she asks them out and they agree to go out to dinner.
Yeah. Chris orbs onto the beach. I don't know. I love Chris. It's weird. He can do nothing and I love this character. I just think it's really funny. I know he orbed in from San Francisco, which is cold, but he's wearing a hoodie and like cargo pants on the beach. It feels just the right amount of out of place.
Yes, well, especially because everyone around him is wearing swimsuits. Like, it's San Francisco, so the beach actually probably is kind of chilly, but everyone around him is wearing tiny, tiny swimsuits.
Yeah.
Really, they're the ones who are wrong!
So he's like, come on, Phoebe, I need you to come, you know, kill a demon. And she's like, did you just orb in the middle of a crowded beach? And he's like, no one cares, come on.
I did it behind a van, it's fine! Nobody could see me behind the van because people only see in two dimensions.
Speaking of two dimensions, Paige.
Poor Paige. She needs money now and is working as a dog walker because the temp agency that she went to, I don't know what kind of work she was looking for from the temp agency, but they mistakenly sent her to a dog walking job and she took it.
Yeah. All of the dogs are running away from her, so she orbs in front of them in the middle of this street in the middle of the day. Fine. Whatever. One of the dogs starts humping her leg and Chris orbs in and he's like, I need you to come kill a demon. Why do you have all these dogs? And she's like, the temp agency made a mistake.
There's a running gag where that dog keeps humping her leg, which I feel like is just mean to Rose McGowan, honestly.
And it might be the reason why she really feels like she doesn't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm. Also, this is apparently not just a dog walking job, but like a dog sitting job, because she hangs onto these dogs all day. I don't know. Anyways, she orbs back to the manor with Chris and all of the dogs, and Piper sees the dogs and doesn't freak out at all, even though normal Piper would freak out. She's just like totally zen about it. She's like, oh, cute dogs.
Ooh, puppies. And Phoebe starts complaining about the fact that Chris is making them kill demons all the time. And Chris is like, Piper's not complaining. And Phoebe's like, yeah, because Piper went insane and we've just not been doing anything about it.
Right?
Like, everyone seems to be aware that she's brainwashed or is having some sort of breakdown and they're just like,
No one's doing anything about her breakdown.
Yeah, she's talking in a baby voice now. This must have been hell for Rose McGowan. Famed baby voice hater Rose McGowan.
Chris sending them after so many demons, like, over and over and over again makes sense if it works the way you mentioned, where his past changes around him as opposed to it being, like, a multiverse. So every time he knows that one of these demons is going to kill one of the sisters, he sends the sisters after that demon, but then it's just a different demon's going to kill one of those sisters, so it's just never ending.
Yeah.
Because, like with the Slayer, they have to be lucky every time. A demon only has to be lucky once.
Yep. So Paige hands all of the dog leashes to Chris, and the dogs drag him out of the scene upstairs.
Yep, so that the sisters can summon the demon that he wants them to go after that he found in the Book of Shadows.
I am embarrassed for this demon.
Like I said, the demon only has to be lucky once. Because, yeah, but this isn't the time he's lucky. This is a very weak demon.
Well, I would be embarrassed because the vanquishing spell Phoebe has written is possibly the worst piece of poetry that has appeared on this show.
And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, and I am counting magic block, magic door unlock.
Okay, so the demon is called a truck demon. And she says, from far and near, get him the truck out of here.
And then he a poem so awful it causes the truck to burst into flames and disappear forever.
Now, before this happens, though, they all shout, Piper, freeze him, because you will recall that Piper needs to be reminded to do the thing.
Yes.
But accidentally, instead of freezing him, she blows off one of his heads. By the way, he has two heads.
Well, not after this.
Which raises the question... If she could blow off one of his heads, couldn't she just blow him up? Did they need a power of three spell? I think not.
Yeah, so he, you know, explodes after Phoebe does her horrible little poem. And Piper's like, haha, that was neat. And they're like, oh no.
Piper's not being a downer about everything. There must be something wrong with her, which... is true. But
I mean, points to her actually noticing, but why didn't you do anything? It's been a couple of months, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're supposed to think that it's been like the summer. This is where we find out, we go to credits, and when we come back, Paige has a little bit of an injury from fighting the demon, and we learn that Chris can't heal. Chris is a white lighter who cannot heal. And again, this is, I think, trying to imply that he's not actually a white lighter.
Yeah. They have a whole thing where they're like, it's so weird. They're mildly annoyed that they have a white lighter who doesn't do, let's be honest, the main thing white lighters are for. And I mean, I'm going to put this on the elders. I know most of them were wiped out last season and they're busy rebuilding or whatever, but like
the white lighter should have checked in when Leo disappeared.
For months.
After this guy just randomly showed up out of nowhere, the White Lighters, instead of sending that guy to be the guardian of their three most important assets, probably should have checked in with the Charmed Ones and made sure everything was okay.
Why would you assign the most important witches in the universe to the guy who literally just showed up and doesn't even have the full set of White Lighter powers? He says... I'm new, and there's a learning curve, which...
Oh, my God.
You whiffed it on the brew thing. You're not going to get another second chance.
And, right? As much as we like to compare it to Buffy, there aren't a bunch of slayers waiting in the wings for you. You're not going to activate another new Charmed One.
So, Chris has another demon assignment for them, and they both blow him off. Phoebe, because she has a date with the DJ who she doesn't really like, and Paige reminds her, wait, weren't you, like, dating your boss? And she's like, eh.
He went away for 2 weeks, so he's dead to me.
So, I guess credit to Paige, because Paige is like, Leo did something to Piper, right? Because, like, she went up to visit him, and then she came back all weird.
Well, no, okay, she doesn't think that Leo did it. She just thinks it's a result of, like, Piper's grief. Like, the weird way Piper's grief is manifesting. But they're like, Leo has to come down here and fix it.
And Chris is like, fine, I guess I have to tell you that Leo's been missing for the last couple months. And they're like, that seems like something you should have mentioned earlier. And he's like, eh.
He's just like, yeah, the elders think he's been kidnapped.
Oh, Chris, Leo's pushing 40. He's been abducted.
Seriously, though, he's like, yeah, it's not really a thing that we're worried about. Chris is terrible at this.
I mean, all of the elders were wiped out pretty recently, so it's not like they're immortal or anything.
I'm just saying, I get that the writers didn't know what Chris's plan was, but he's doing it horribly.
So, meanwhile, on a Hollywood soundstage,
World War II movie is being shot?
A World War II movie is being shot, and an extra is, ugh, I'm dying?
Well, not an extra, because he gets lines. But yes, basically we see a battlefield, we see a guy die, and then the portal opens, and a Valkyrie comes to take his warrior soul to Valhalla.
Really sucks for him if it was, like, a different religion, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude, I know you were expecting to go to, like, Christian heaven or whatever, but since you were a soldier when you died, you get conscripted into the Valkyrie army to fight against... I don't know.
To fight in Ragnarok.
Yeah.
But yeah. Not just a soldier. Someone with a warrior's soul.
Mm.
Meanwhile, at P3, Piper has turned P3 basically into a daycare for during the day. And we talked about this when we were watching it. I'm like, okay, yeah, a nightclub is only used at night. You really only need a daycare during the day. That makes logical sense. Although, as you pointed out,
like, the accreditation there would be in, it would be so intense because I feel like both nightclubs and daycares are highly regulated, but in very different ways.
Yeah, getting it set up so that it could be licensed as both would be probably a nightmare. Yes, definitely.
But this daycare is definitely unlicensed. Apparently, Piper's just been...
I mean, it might not be, even be a daycare. I mean, it's
a play group.
Yeah, I mean, there's a giant play area, lots of toys and stuff, but I think it's just Piper calling all of her friends that we've never seen before, and Daryl.
Yeah, to drop off their babies. Also Daryl's wife, because she's been established, so I guess they're going to use her.
Sure, why not?
And Daryl's like, there's something wrong with Piper, right? And Daryl's wife is like, I met her once. What are you expecting out of me? It's weird that I'm here.
Okay, so Paige and Phoebe show up, and Phoebe talks to Daryl and is like, wait, you're worried about something. Oh, you're concerned that Piper is acting unusually. And it's like, that's, yes, Phoebe. Like, I get that we're supposed to see that you have an empathy power now, but you write an advice column. I would expect you to have this basic insight into how human brains work.
I have this magical thing where I look at someone's face and I can get the general gist of what emotion they're having.
Yes, my charmed one's power is that I listen to what people say and understand the words that come out of their mouths.
I'm worried about Piper. I sense that you're worried about Piper. I do like that Daryl's like, what's up with her? And Paige says, she's just being a little annoying right now. Which is a great summation of Phoebe's empathy power.
Oof. So Paige and Phoebe tell Piper what they just learned from Chris, that Leo has been kidnapped. And she's like, oh, I'm sure it'll be fine.
And he's front credited, whatever.
I know that this is, I know that this is because of his power, but yeah, that's the right reaction. I'm sure it'll be fine. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
I mean, they fought basically from, God, I was going to say the minute they got married, but no, it predated that. There's like a couple of months where they were happily dating before, like, they started constantly arguing about everything for no reason. Like, I think it does track that Piper's happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, oof. She's going to start dating again, and that's just, it's awful. Like, again, I prefer her with Leo, if only because all of the stuff when she's not with Leo is worse. So, we're on a tropical island paradise.
Yes, it turns out Valhalla is not in the sky or another realm, but is actually a hidden island.
Where a bunch of different warrior types from across history are training.
This feels vaguely racist.
Racist, yeah. There's like a Shaolin monk, and there's like an African guy, and people are like doing flips and stuff. And the monk guy, mm-hmm. I'm going to say, he screws up a flip, and then a white blonde lady comes up and she's like, no, you didn't heave your bosoms correctly. Watch this. And then she does a, like, Xena flip.
Which, by the way, is not any better than the flip he did.
Well, she doesn't land on her butt. That's the main difference.
I know. I'm just saying we're supposed to be impressed by the flip she does. I am not impressed with the wire work they have her doing.
Yeah. So the head Valkyrie lady's like, show me what you've got, Mist. And then we get, like, all of the shots are very, you know, let's frame women's.
Oh, yeah, we did mention what the Valkyries wear, which is basically tiny leather bikinis. Mist, the Valkyrie who we saw making out with Chris, and then who also is the one who captured that warrior spirit, shows Freya the warrior spirit that she captured. And now they're going to bring him to fight so that they can test him and see what kind of a warrior he is. They bring him into a cave where they can all lounge around like a like a bikini model shoot.
Yeah, they're all undulating on top of each other. Ooh, isn't it so sexy to put men in cages and watch them fight each other? Ooh, let me just fondle your breasts and drink wine as we watch these men and judge them for their virility. This must be what it's like to live in Boris Vallejo's head.
I'm too distracted by the fact that for ancient deities that these women are supposed to be, they all have a very early 2000s frosted makeup look.
God. It really reminds me of that show that was making fun of this sort of show, the Mad TV sketch, the, like, She Amazons from Across Time.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
Or I think Jungle Glamazons Through Space and Time or something. It's very...
Mm-hmm, yes. So they put him in the cage to fight, and a man in a helmet that covers his entire face comes out and fights him, defeats him, so no surprise when that man turns out to be Leo, who's like, hey, why won't you just let me go? After he defeats the warrior.
And the main Valkyrie lady's like...
Freya, it's Freya.
Freya. Freya, she's like, you are an elder. You have much to teach our warriors, which...
When you think of somebody who's a great warrior, you definitely think of those old guys in robes up in the clouds.
What are you talking about? Like, well, what?
Maybe if Leo didn't want them to think that he had something to teach them, he could just stop winning matches.
Yeah, like, you don't have to win, dude.
Although that's not the reason they're holding him. They're holding him because Chris asked them to. Whatever. Back at the manor... Paige is breaking from the rest of the sisters by actually trying to do something proactive and scry for where Leo is.
Yeah, and I like she's got, like, a local map, and then she's got maps covering, you know, the rest of America, the rest of the world, the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And Phoebe's like, don't you think that's a bit much? And Paige is like, it'll tell us if he's in this dimension.
That actually would have been smart, would have been if she had had, like, a dimensional map from the Book of Shadows she was using, too.
Yeah, because I would just assume if you couldn't find him through scrying like that, either A, he's in a place that's protected from scrying, which is a thing you can do, or he's in a different plane of reality, which is something we've seen on the show a few times before.
Mm-hmm.
If the spirit board was still around, they could ask it, but...
Mm-hmm. Paige is using one of Leo's shirts to try to give her, like... some oomph to figure out where he is.
And they have a meta joke about Leo always wearing plaid.
Yes. Chris is simultaneously giving her a hard time for trying to look for Leo and failing at finding Leo. And I'm like, pick a lane, Chris. And Phoebe is like, of course we're worried about our brother-in-law. And Chris says, ex-brother-in-law. No, he's not!
Yeah.
He's missing, not divorced!
I mean, he did kind of seem like he was dumping Piper to be an elder, but... he's not supposed to know that, so, yeah. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of when people refer to characters' dead partners as their exes.
Yeah.
Where it's like...
that happens in Ada's a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
So, they decide that they need to get Piper unblocked, and finding Leo to do it is not going to be in the cards, as it were. So... Paige is going to create a spell that will unblock whatever it was that Leo did to her that caused her to stop feeling things. And Phoebe decides to call and cancel her date with the DJ.
She's calling the cafe to leave a message to leave to him that she's not going to be there. And when she gets through, the cafe is like, oh yeah, he called first and left a message saying he wasn't going to show up. And then she's mad about that. Because he stood her up?
I mean, it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be funny that she's hypocritical, that she's mad that he stood her up, even though she was about to stand him up.
Is it? Because she's got that big empowerment speech at the end of the episode where she's, like, she goes up to the DJ and she's like, why don't men like you call?
No, I think we're supposed to understand. You know what? Now I don't know! Now you've got me questioning! I totally understood that we were supposed to find it humorous that she's... annoyed that he stood her up, even though she's the one who was about to stand him up.
I like that she puts this entire... She's like, yes, I know I acknowledge that there's something mystically wrong with the Piper and Leo's gone missing, but I need to confront the DJ right now.
Yeah, so she goes to the beach where he's, like, at a barbecue with the rest of the... with the rest of the radio crew.
Why is he still here? Is this a multiple day thing?
I maybe, yeah, I think he's, like, eating at the craft services table, and he was gonna skip out on his job to go to lunch with her or something. But yes, she does give the speech, as you said. She's like, why do guys always stand up women at the last minute?
And her new empathy power kicks in, and she's like, you're intimidated by me. By all strong, powerful, amazingly beautiful women with fantastic breasts and abs you could grate cheese on.
And then she's like, you're telling me that this thing that I work so hard for is the thing that's making me undesirable for men? And look, I know that in the early 2000s, this was a normal way for women to feel. I feel like it's recently that, like, women as a whole have come together and decided, fuck that guy, fuck that fuckboy. But, yeah, if a guy doesn't want you because you're powerful, fuck him. Like, that's not someone you need to be concerned about.
Then she starts crying because a girl in the background scraped her knee. And she's like, it hurts. It really hurts. While the girl's extra mother pats her reassuringly on the shoulder, because I'm sure these actors weren't related at all and they're not paying her for lines. So she's just like an arm's length away, tapping the child on the shoulder as the child repeats the same ADR. Mommy, it hurts. Ow. Mommy, it hurts. And ow.
This gives Phoebe the revelation that her new power is empathy. So she decides she's not going to confront the DJ anymore. Or she's done confronting the DJ because she has more important fish to fry.
So Paige's dogs are tearing up the attic because I guess she's just has the dogs forever now. Like, isn't dog walking supposed to be like an hour thing?
That's why I corrected myself that I guess she's dog sitting, not dog walking. But she was walking the dogs that she was sitting. Anyway, Piper's home, and Piper's brought home a bunch of babies.
Yeah. Did she get permission for this? Who knows? How did she get the babies from the club to here?
That's a great question. Like, they're all in little carriers, but it's not like she has that many car seats.
Because there's a lot of babies here.
And there's like five babies. There's no way she fit five baby car seats in her car.
So Paige tries a spell to undo whatever Leo did to her, and instead it just completely erases her brain.
Yeah, it erases her memory, which makes sense because the spell is worded to, like, deal with her memory, but Leo didn't block her memories, he blocked her pain. She remembers what happened, she just doesn't care. So, yeah, Paige has accidentally erased all of her memories. Now she doesn't know who she is, or what anything is, or what magic is, or that she's a witch, or anything.
Yeah, who that baby is over there.
Yeah, her baby. She doesn't know who her baby is.
And Chris is like, way to go, Paige! Ace witchcraft there.
You know, Chris, if you're not going to contribute anything, don't just stand back and criticize all the time.
Piper accidentally blows up, like, a fern or something, and Chris is like, okay, you don't get to move your hands anymore. And Paige just leads
Piper. Here's the thing, though. She was just gesturing. She didn't have a strong emotion, which is what she needs to activate her powers, but oh well.
Paige thinks that more magic is the solution to this problem.
Of course she does. She's the youngest. She's had the least experience with how terrible magic can be. Then in the playpen, she sees Wyatt orb a baby's pacifier out of its mouth and into his own mouth, and has a revelation that Wyatt is what she needs to find Leo.
Yeah, remember when we did this before? You know, when the hag or whoever had him trapped in that water tank, and Piper used Wyatt to sense him and orb to him?
Yeah, although they're not going to orb to him, which would make sense. They're just going to use him as the focus and the scrying, which seems like adding extra steps that you don't need, but whatever. Phoebe has returned home to tell everyone that she has a new empathy power, and that's why her column has been so amazingly good lately.
Yeah, she's like, remember that empath that we helped out, you know, way, way back when Prue was still alive, and Prue got his empathy power and it nearly drove her insane? Well, now I have it! Yay! Also, empaths were immortal in that, so is she immortal now?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
Okay, let's break this down, though. Let's break this down. Why exactly would empathy help her write her column?
No clue. Premonition would make sense for that, at least.
Premonition,
right?
Like, might work, but if somebody writes into you and is like, hey, I'm feeling sad because my husband is always putting me down in front of my friends. I feel like he's undermining me. And then you're like, I sense that you're feeling undermined. Like, why does that make you a good advice giver? Especially because a really good advice giver, in my opinion, tells people things they didn't realize that maybe they need to hear. So,
oh, maybe that's what Phoebe's doing. She's picking up on the secret emotions underneath.
Well, I was going to say, like, feeling people's emotions would take you away from that, because the thing that makes an advice giver good is that they're an outside perspective. So why would a power that takes away your outside perspective make you a good advice giver?
How would she be using it through letters anyway, also? But, like, her empathy power is so horribly ill-defined, she ends up using it to, like, channel other people's powers, because power does come from emotion, so question mark. Yeah, I know.
Honestly, it's so poorly defined that we haven't even come up with an alternative secret power to have as a segment that we call empathy.
It's coming, eventually.
But they don't have time to listen to how good her column is, because Paige erased Piper's memory. Phoebe goes to yell at Paige, and then she's like, oh, wait, you feel bad that you did that.
I can sense that you feel bad that you did that. And Paige is like, oh, my God, this is your new thing now, isn't it? Your one job is to repeat everything the ship says now.
Yep.
I have one job. I repeat what the ship says. It's stupid, but it's the one thing they gave me. Galaxy Quest is so good.
Yeah.
Main character aside. Mm-hmm. Although Tim Allen is weirdly perfect to play Bill Shatner, let's be honest.
Right. But Paige, apparently, according to Phoebe, did feel bad about wiping Piper's memory, but by using Wyatt, she was able to pretty quickly locate where Leo is. It is an island that is uncharted in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and they are just going to blindly orb there because they trust Paige's ability, which turns out to be good, but, you know. Yeah.
It's a good way to end up really, really wet.
Yeah. Once they orb away, Chris gets really frustrated and just...
He kicks a teddy bear. He kicks a teddy bear across the room, and Wyatt instinctively puts up his force field.
Honestly, this seems to me less for protection and more for, like, shade. Like...
Okay. I want to point out the people that Paige and Phoebe have left alone with Chris. They have left their amnesiac sister, a house full of babies, and also a house full of dogs alone with Chris. A 20-year-old who none of them know, like, or trust.
Who doesn't even have the power to heal.
Yeah.
He looks at Wyatt and he's like, oh, don't act like you have to fear anything from me. I'm the one who has to fear stuff from you. So that, you know.
Yeah, so we know that his new thing is going to be Wyatt. That, like, Wyatt is his real focus. It wasn't actually the Titans of Myth. But yeah, he is a thing with Wyatt.
So, back on the island, back in Valhalla, Paige and Phoebe have arrived.
They're walking down the one path on this island. They're talking about how beautiful it is. The warriors that the Valkyries collected to fight in the final battle are doing their warrior training, which is like jogging through the woods.
Oh, no. They're actually looking for the sisters. They immediately sense that they were there, because we'll learn later that the island has a sensor that tells the Valkyries when somebody orbs in, which seems like a really good thing to put on an island. Mm. Maybe someone should wrap it around their manor. Just saying.
Okay, I kind of love that every time they go into the cage set, we get the same establishing shot of a human skull in the cage. Every time.
Someone in props was super proud of that prop.
I mean, it's a nice one.
Leo's in the cage, and he's like, oh, I'm so glad that you're here.
Phoebe, I love your new haircut. And Phoebe's like, oh, you do?
Oof. Some unnamed Valkyries show up and immediately start fighting the sisters and, like, really have the upper hand. Like, they are absolutely going to win. But Leo grabs two short swords from inside of the cage and throws them through the bars, impaling the Valkyries in the back and killing them both.
Yeah, this is not a great episode if you don't like seeing women get murdered.
I mean, Leo is a prisoner. Like, when you're a prisoner, that makes sense. That's justifiable. I feel like we're supposed to see this and then feel better about Chris killing three Valkyries later for
basically no reason.
Yeah. Eh. So
Leo.
Oh, wait. Okay, so I'm jumping ahead a little bit here.
Okay.
But the sisters need an amulet of a Valkyrie to go to Valhalla and disguise as Valkyries. And Chris kills a Valkyrie and takes her pendant and then to give to Piper. And then we see that he has two others. So it's like, oh, he killed two other Valkyries. I wonder if he somehow got the
Maldons
from those two ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, Chris killed between one and three people.
Yes. Whereas Leo just killed two.
Who were holding him prisoner.
Yes, that is the difference.
No, I mean, it is a huge difference between killing the people who are holding you prisoner and killing the people you are working with.
Mm. Although, are Valkyries not working with the Elders then? I mean, they're theoretically both on the same side, right?
I kind of assumed that the Valkyries were like the Furies, which were explained to us when we met them before, that they were not really good or evil. They were like a force of nature, so it was okay to fight them and kill them.
So you're saying by the universe of Charmed rules, this might be a morally neutral act?
Yeah, yes, by the morality of Charmed rules. I don't think Valkyries are good or evil.
Hmm. So Chris is upset that neither Paige nor Phoebe seems to be taking this seriously at all.
Because they just orb straight to the island without a plan.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, running off half-cocked without a plan is taking things seriously. It might not be a good idea, but it's definitely taking the situation seriously.
So Paige is like, Chris, weren't you supposed to return all my dogs? And he's like, what about the babies? You're not asking about the babies.
Well, she doesn't care about the babies. They're not her babies.
He returned most of the dogs, but one of the dogs is still here because the owners weren't back yet or something.
And also because it's the dog that keeps humping Paige's leg, and they needed to keep that running joke going.
So Paige is looking up Valkyries in the Book of Shadows, and they're apparently a race of demigods that blah, 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 take the souls of the brave for the final battle, blah, 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 blah. And Phoebe's like, does that mean they're good? And
no one answers her question.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say what I said. They're morally neutral. They're a force of nature.
If only Piper hadn't got rid of Paige's thing where she did tabs on the Book of Shadows.
Yes, it would have been a lot easier to look it up.
Yeah.
So it actually makes sense that they were able to hold Leo because Leo is also a dead soldier.
Yes. Yeah. So he would fall under their purview.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Chris lets them know that he knows a suspicious amount about Valkyries and tells them the thing that I already said, that they need a Valkyrie's orb so they can disguise themselves as Valkyries and, like,
it's great because at first he's like, do we even need to rescue Leo? And they're like, yes, obviously. And he's like, fine.
He also tells them that the only way that they're going to be able to go in there without people questioning them is if they have a warrior's soul with them when they go. So they're going to have to do the Chewbacca thing.
Yeah, the wounded soldier gambit.
The Chewbacca gambit.
Yes, the Chewbacca gambit, if we're talking Once Upon a Time, or real life, I guess is what...
I'm pretty sure that's what TV Tropes calls it, too. That's where you go in with somebody that you pretend is your prisoner, so that you can get into the place where a prisoner is being held.
Yes. So Chris is going to get them the Valkyrie amulets or whatever, and they have to find a warrior's soul, and they're like, where are we going to find that? And he's like, I don't know. You're the one who's all hep. You're the ones who are all like, ooh, we need to save Leo. So you find a warrior soul. I'm going to go kill a lady.
You know, we've been talking a lot about Chris being evil, but he's going to go kill a lady, but they're going to go kill a warrior so they can take his soul. I'm just saying, it's not good all around.
Yeah, in the streets of somewhere, a Valkyrie is approaching a dying police officer who has been shot in the line of duty. And she's like, don't worry, I'm taking you to a better place where you fight every single day in a battle where you can never die, but you can experience death over and over and over again until you get eaten by a giant serpent that's one of Loki's kids.
But before she can take his soul, Chris shows up and she's like, wait, no, I kept our deal. And he's like, sorry. And he kills her anyway. But okay, here's the thing. He kills her and then he's like, forgive me. And then he turns on the cop's radio and calls, like, officer down to presumably save the cop's life. So, I mean, what are we supposed to think about his morality right now?
I think we're supposed to think the writers don't know what they're doing with this character yet. I appreciate that he kills someone in the show by just telekinetically crushing her heart.
It's fucked up, but...
I mean, it's badass. I wish we'd seen Prue do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we used to talk all the time about how Prue has the offensive power, but it's basically never a finisher move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she uses it to deflect energy bolts back into people, but Chris just uses it as a finisher move.
Yeah.
Also, this is the shot of him that's in the credits. The shot of him telekinetically crushing some lady's heart.
Oof. Yeah. Anyway, remember how we said that Paige and Phoebe were off killing some warrior?
Yeah, they have come to take Daryl's soul. And you know how Daryl has to be thinking, like, I paid Andy back, right? I know I made this joke before, but, like, this has to be in his head right now. His blood debt to Andy or whatever has been paid back. He does not need this in his life anymore.
Seriously, they're like, Daryl, will you help us rescue Leo? And he's like, yes, whatever you need. Which, I mean, when you're talking to the Charmed Ones, maybe be careful how you phrase things. Because they're like, great, we need to kill you and take your soul. And he's like, no. They're like, don't worry, we'll put it back. And as long as we put it back within a few hours, you should probably not actually die.
And he's like, no, I do not agree to this. I 100% do not consent. And he turns around and Paige throws the potion that kills him at his back. And he walks out of his body and then they suck his soul into a little jar. He turns around, he sees his dead body. And he's like, really? Really? And then they just suck his soul into a little jar. What the fuck? They killed Daryl and stole his soul.
Yeah, I know. I know I was talking about whether or not Chris was a good guy, but this is not behavior of good people. Anyway, back at the manor, Chris has fastened the pendant on to Piper, which turns her into a Valkyrie. Now she's dressed in the leather bikini outfit.
She's dressed in a much more conservative version of the Valkyrie outfit.
Yeah, it's more of like a tankini than a bikini.
Yes. Like, you will notice Holly Marie Combs is not showing her cleavage. She is not showing her upper torso. Like,
and she's not showing as much of her stomach.
I think she's barely showing any of it.
Yeah, but it still doesn't connect to the skirt. There's still like an inch of flesh.
Yeah, but like, there is a huge mountain of difference between what she is wearing and what Alyssa Milano and Rose McGowan are wearing. Because it's amulets all around. Also, Chris establishes here that he has convinced Piper that she is an Amazon, which was super easy because...
A Valkyrie.
Which was super easy because thanks to Paige, she has no memory. And it's like, why don't you just tell her that she's a witch going undercover as a Valkyrie? And this...
No, this is a lot less complicated.
Is it? You're just convincing her that she's not on your side right off the bat.
That's fair.
Also, she's in the room while you're telling them this. She can hear you. But yeah, Chris also has two other amulets, and we get a extended scene where the three sisters get blorped to Valkyrie Island.
And they do the thing where they do like the slow motion walk and then the fast speed up walk. That little...
Oh my god, these shots.
Camera trick that was popular at the time.
They're shots of everyone except for... Holly Marie Combs is barely in this. She's like off to the side. There is like a 5-second shot just of Rose McGowan's breasts, which does not sound like a lot, but it is in terms of television cutting time.
Yeah, this episode is very male gazey.
Like, it's just, it's extended. Just them walking in slow motion, the camera going up and down their bodies and zooming in on, like, breasts and rear ends and stomachs. And it's exploitative in a way I don't think Charmed has been as nakedly exploitative.
No pun intended?
No pun intended up to this point. Like, this feels more obvious than it's been at any other point.
Yeah, I feel that.
I am including the Coyote Piper sequence in this.
Mm-hmm.
We get the skull again. That's fun. This is like the fourth time this episode.
They go back into the cage room and the other Valkyries are like, hey, there's only like 10 Valkyries on this island. We don't know who you are.
The main Valkyrie says to them, who are you? And Paige is like, we have a soul for you. And she's like, okay, I guess that answered my question.
I mean, I was joking when I said there were only 10. I guess I assume there are enough Valkyries that they don't know every Valkyrie. But yes, once Piper opens the little vial that has Daryl's soul, they're like, okay, well, you brought us a warrior, so I guess we don't really care which branch you're from.
Well, they're like, can he fight? And I'm like, I'm thinking, like, okay, can the U.S. soldier guy you recruited fight? We were joking about him being from World War II, but he was from one of America's many current conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wouldn't all of his skills be, like, shooting guns and stuff and not hand-to-hand combat?
I think, like, it's in your heart or something. Like, you have a warrior's heart, so, like, your soul itself, like,
knows how to fight with a sword and shield.
Yeah, vampires know how to fight when they die and come back in Buffy. Why can't, like, warrior souls know how to fight when they die?
Okay. So they throw Daryl into the cage, and Leo's like, hey, Daryl, I'm going to stab you a whole bunch. Try not to, you know, fight back too hard, okay? And Daryl's like, what? And Leo's like, ha, sword to the face.
Yeah, he's like, take the fall. Take a fall and stay down. And meanwhile, Paige and Phoebe are whispering to each other because they don't actually have a plan. They were going to get here and then figure it out once they were here. That's a terrible plan.
It really is.
I get that you immediately had to come and get recon as soon as you figured out where he was. But then, before you go back the second time, have a plan. And also, you know what? You were right. You were right. Piper doesn't think she's on their side!
Well, Leo's mask gets knocked off, and Piper sees Leo's face, and Phoebe's like, oh my god, Piper's emotions are back! She's angry! And Paige is like, everyone's looking at us. Leo, kill him. And Daryl's like, what?
Yeah. Although, I'm sorry, it just occurs to me, Chris wants Leo to stay imprisoned, so he probably knew that it was a terrible idea to send Piper, not knowing she was on their side.
So, Leo beats the shit out of Daryl. And Paige is like, it's our fault for bringing you such a bad warrior. We're just gonna return him. Bye. And the Valkyries are like, we have no follow-up questions to this. Let's just let them walk out with that guy. I just
feel like those Valkyries are gonna go home tonight and be like, and talk to their girlfriends and be like, hey, the weirdest thing happened in the Skull Cage room today.
Like, they just leave the three women none of them have ever seen before alone in the room with their prisoner.
Much like these women left Chris alone with everybody at their house.
Yeah. So they use potions or something to break open the gate, whatever.
That works for me. Yeah, they use a potion that Paige brought to open the cage. And that works for me because we saw that the Valkyries use magic to open and close it. So even though it looks like it's just made of loose pieces of bamboo, it's, like, solid.
Yeah. As they're walking out of the cave, Phoebe doubles over in pain because of all the intense emotions Piper is feeling. And Piper's like, no, stay away from me, Leo. And he's like, no, we have so much to talk about, like how I'm leaving you for a job I don't even want. And Phoebe is sucking out all of Piper's emotions, so she's screaming at Leo. She's like, how dare you? You left us. How dare you?
Okay, seriously, though, this power of Phoebe's is... I know we've said it's annoying, but It's Phoebe's let's make everything about me power, because Piper is so upset, and Phoebe, because she can channel that upset, is she's the one yelling at Leo now. She's the one who's like, you left us! You left us alone with your child!
And Leo's excuse is just, hey, I was going to undo it, but then I got kidnapped. He's like, look, I was going to take the spell off a little bit at a time to phase you back into feeling things when your feelings weren't so feelingsy.
Okay, that's not better. Okay, maybe it's a tiny bit better, but not,
I mean, not I a huge guess.
Amount. Not a huge amount. Like, how infantilizing is that? I just didn't think you could deal with me being gone, so I had to magically, like, ease you into it.
Phoebe starts wailing on Leo,
which... Okay, we talked about this, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is a conversation that's worth having, like, here on mic.
Okay, so I don't want to bring too much real-world stuff into this, but...
Into the show where the women wearing leather bikinis are pretending to be Valkyries in Valhalla, which is an island in the middle of the Indian Ocean?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
But a lot of Piper's behavior towards Leo would be abusive if they were real people, and, you know...
Yeah, the way she, like, blows him up whenever they're fighting.
Yeah, like...
And honestly, even the way she freezes him during sex when they first get together is not okay.
Yeah, because she doesn't know he knows about magic at that point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of this stuff in their relationship is not okay in a real-world context. But the thing with Phoebe getting drunk off Piper's emotions and wailing on Leo hit me as kind of domestic abuse-y at first, but you were getting different vibes from it?
Yeah, yeah. I was saying, because... You were saying that that was Piper basically punching Leo through Phoebe. And I was saying that since they weren't Phoebe's emotions, she didn't have the emotional regulation that Piper did. So, like, Piper was...
Would just blow him up with her magic powers.
That does negate what I'm saying. It's true. It's true. But basically, I was saying that you can't put that on Piper, because
you can put it on Phoebe, because apparently if she was ever angry at a spouse, she would just physically beat them.
No, I think getting somebody else's emotions, like, she has to learn how to regulate that. It's not okay, but much like the way the Valkyries are not good or evil, they're just pure, you know, chaos energy. I guess not chaos energy, because they're the opposite of chaos energy. They're order energy.
I'm assuming they're good, they're just also kind of assholes, because the warriors they're training are supposed to be on the good side of Ragnarok, right?
Yeah, but what I was saying is I think Phoebe's just pure emotion at this point.
Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, they all have to leave because the Valkyries discovered, hey, maybe we shouldn't have left these three women none of us have ever seen before alone with our prisoner.
They open the portal and they're about to return, and Piper's like, no, I'm going to stay here and be a Valkyrie.
Yeah, fuck you. Also, fuck our infant son, I guess.
To be continued.
Yes. Piper's a Valkyrie. Everyone else blurped off Valkyrie Island. The end. You see, the whole island thing, and the leather bikinis, it feels very Amazons.
Well, I mean, they spent a whole season trying to be Buffy. It's only fair that they should spend at least a couple episodes trying to be Xena.
Yeah. All right, so... This episode is terrible. I love it. I love it so much.
I know. It's bad.
It's so bad, but it's fun.
I feel like last season I was saying we were into the bad seasons, and there was some bad stuff, but like...
No. This is where we're at. We're at the...
Past me had no idea.
We're at the super exploitative costumes. I want to see the nymph outfits that would have come from this season.
Oh, I definitely do not, but yeah, I hear you.
But like, no, we are in the thick of it. This is when Charmed is at its charmed-iest. Oh, we're gonna get Magic School and we're gonna get Gideon.
Oh my god, okay.
Arguably the best villain Charmed ever did.
Interesting. Oh, interesting, we'll have to talk about that. I have a different opinion about the best villain Charmed ever did.
Was it cool?
Phoebe.
Well.
All right, so I think that's going to do it for this week.
Yes, much like the Charmed ones, we have our own power of three. The first power in our pack is Premonition. Who in this episode is, was, or will become famous? It was Smash Mouth. Smash Mouth was in this episode.
Yep.
Smash Mouth. Hey, Tina, I will give you no money if you can name a single member of Smash Mouth.
Well, you can keep your no money, because I definitely cannot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredibly famous band could, with a gun to my head, could not name a single member.
Nope.
The second power in our pack is Time Freeze. What specifically dates this episode? The DJ's name was Hanging Chad.
Okay, so just in case you're too young to know about the Hanging Chad.
Which you could be and be legally old enough to drink.
During the 2000 election, there was an issue with one of the ballots in Florida. Specifically, yes. So when you had your paper ballot pushed into the thing, some people pushed, punched out the hole for who they wanted to vote for president. And then when the election was very close and they were recounting the ballots, there was a question as to whether or not the vote counted if the hole had not been completely punched through, if there was in fact a hanging Chad. This became like a huge thing. And, okay, not to like whatever, but I was in Florida at the time, and I know that my ballot didn't have a hanging Chad because I read the instructions, and the instructions had to check the back and make sure that there was no extraneous paper, so I did what the instructions told me to do. So, anyway, I'm just saying, read the instructions.
But also, fun fact, that's where a lot of people lost faith in the Supreme Court, so...
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have time to get into that.
We absolutely do not. But this is a joke that is... This is a freeze that is so time-frozen that on How I Met Your Mother, a show that ended over a decade ago, there was a joke about Ted's outdated costume, and his outdated costume was a hanging Chad.
Yes.
So yeah, that is definitely the time freeze. And I think that's a time freeze in like the truest sense, where that was a ha-ha at the time, but now, like, legitimately, I feel like there's a significant number of adults who won't know what that is, what they're talking about.
The next power in our pack is telekinesis. What, if anything, genuinely moved you?
Nothing. I feel like Phoebe's argument was supposed to move me. And you know what might have moved me in that argument?
What?
If Holly Marie Combs had been the one who got to have it.
Yes. Because it starts with her talking. It starts with her talking, and then Phoebe shoves her face out of shot, slides in, and takes the scene for herself.
I do have a secret power, though, although I don't think it's too much of a secret here.
Ooh, which power?
Astral projection.
Oh, what made you cringe so hard you wanted to physically leave your body?
When Phoebe goes to the beach to confront the DJ and she can't deal with her empathy power and starts crying because the child behind her is crying.
Oh, God, it's so awful.
It's so embarrassing. Oh, my goodness. Phoebe, I'm embarrassed for you.
I actually kind of have a telekinesis.
Oh, please.
I'm not saying that this, you know, saying it emotionally moved me feels weird, but the scene where Chris kills the Valkyrie is very effective.
Yes, it is shocking.
And you get the sense of Chris as, which they've been, to give them credit, Chris is the sort of character they've established him as being, someone who will do anything, you know, to mm-hmm. to fulfill his goals, which we don't know what they are, but you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's effectively creepy when he just crushes the woman's heart and she dies, the Valkyrie's heart. Also, I have a levitation.
Oh, something that was so cool that you lifted up off the ground and were like, fuck yeah.
I mean, yeah, kind of. It's when Chris is when Chris is threatening Wyatt. It's delightful. It is delightful whenever Chris has to be like,
fuck you, baby!
Yeah, I'm gonna stop you. I'm going to stop you no matter what. I'm going to do whatever it takes to stop you, literal baby. And the thing is, I know why it's omnipotent. So, like, yeah, he's an actual threat, but they just cut to the stupid baby sitting there, obviously no idea what's going on, while Chris is giving him the death glare.
Aw, poor baby.
That's Wyatt.
Oh, not the actor baby.
Yeah.
One of the twins that played Wyatt.
Also, Wyatt's blonde now. I don't know if, like, they kept the same twins or whatever, if they got new twins, or if the twins' hair got lighter, or if they were just like, we need a new baby that will just sit there and not do anything.
I didn't even notice. My mind doesn't process babies.
Yeah.
All right, I think that does it for this week.
Yeah, that'll about do it.
Our show is partially listener-supported. If you want to be one of our supporters, head over to our website, www.welcometotelevision.net, and click on our Patreon link. We'd like to thank our current $5 and above patrons, Beryl, Patricia, Rosa, Ryan, Maricruz, Benjamin, Kate, Jen, Dan, Anthony, and Daniel.
If you'd like to support the show in other ways, you could always rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
If you want to talk about this episode, or any episode of any television show, you can email us at ilovetelevisionzines@gmail.com, or you can find us on Blue Sky at Welcome to Television.
So until next time, I'm Max.
And I'm Tina.
And this has been Welcome to Hollowell Manor.